deeply through your nose, exhale through the mouth. You know, a lot of people still don't know how to do that now. And I check it, and that's one of the things that we do at home, learning to breathe. I was born and raised in El Salvador, and I've been through many exiles where I learned a lot and learned to appreciate diversity and the cultures of people, and also the real meaning of solidarity and caring. And now I'm back at home, and I work with many people in El Salvador. I am with my sister taking care of my father, 96, and my mom, 86. It's good and it's difficult too. And one of the things is that, you know, like when I'm doing this type of work, I make sure that my sister and I keep connected so that I can be of help if it's needed. When I went back to El Salvador right before we signed the peace agreement, I thought, this is the time to come and we'll be able to do all the things that we've been dreaming about. Then we signed the peace agreement, and I thought, we are all going to be hugging each other, and really we are going to do these things that are needed in this country. And, you know, a lot of things related to taking care of Mother Earth and our indigenous roots, because I look very white, but I am, as most of the people in my country, indigenous and black, and some of us look white too. And, you know, sometimes people want to say that we are mestizos, but really, all the culture is mostly related to the indigenous roots that we have, even though the language and the religion and many of the ways that we have to live by in the larger society are Western. What happened after the peace agreements is that there was a lot of fighting, even within the movement. People wanted to have the positions. People wanted to, you know, have the power. So right now we are paying the price because still there is a lot of division within the people that we call the left. And many times we are so busy being the left that we are not what we have to be, which is, you know, to accompany our people, to really be the people of El Salvador. And I am doing this by, you know, sharing with you about these things because I think that it's important that we pay attention. A lot of what happens, you know, like my mom would say, well, things are the way they are because that's where we have allowed them to get to. You know, all of us together. And so right now, for example, we lost the elections in El Salvador, and there was a very good chance that we could win. But the same situation that happened here, where a lot of the fear was instilled in people, that's exactly what happened in my country. And a lot of the people voted for the government that is in power right now, which is not the left, even though it was almost ready to win, because of some of these things that Maria was talking about. You know, we have more than one-fifth of the population of El Salvador in this country without documents, and they are the ones that are sending one-third of the budget of El Salvador. And everybody is aware of it, the people in the right, and the people in the left, and the ones that are supposed to be in the middle but are mostly on the right. And and they all vote together, so, you know, it's very hard to win if you are in the left because they are together all the time. And so what happened was that Fidel, you know, everybody calls Fidel Fidel. Fidel's daughter was taken to my country and talking very negatively about Fidel because the whole thing was that we were going to become like Cuba. And there was all this fear. And so people were saying, if the daughter is speaking so bad, probably the man is bad, you know. Because when you don't have an education and you don't have the critical thinking that we were talking about yesterday, you don't have parameters and you are not able to figure out and discern. That's one of the key works that we have to do, you know, working with people so that they are capable of having critical thinking and the basis and the resources to be able to discern and figure out what is the best that they have to do. And then about 2 weeks before the elections, And, you know, it looked like if the left was going to win. And the left is not that left anymore. It's much to the center. It's very little left left. And so it's just like here, you know. Some people couldn't even think what to do. But I told them, you know, you have to be smart and pay attention because you don't want to be backpedaling yourselves, right? So the work is not going to be done by any party. It's going to be done by us. We are the people. We are the community. And whatever we want and whatever we need is being historical. That's how it has been done. And with the leadership, really, of women and with the basis of indigenous cultures. That's what has been the strength throughout history. So what happened about 2 weeks before the elections is that the Undersecretary of State for Latin America, for the hemisphere, went to El Salvador, and he is a Cuban man who is a citizen, and he was put in all the media. You were talking about the media, and the media is owned by the very richest people. And so there he was asked, do you think that anything will happen if the left wins? And, you know, would there be any good relationships with the government of the U.S., even if the, you know, even if your party doesn't win, like that? And he would say very nicely, well, I think that, yes, there would be problems because probably all those Salvadorians living in the United States undocumented might not be given extra time to stay there, you know? Uh-huh, the people were saying, mm-hmm, you know, did you hear that? And then he said that probably the money, the remittances that the people were sending, one-third of the budget of El Salvador, might not be allowed to be sent any longer, and all the Salvadorians were going to be repatriated. Everybody voted for whoever they had to vote to, you know, to keep the status quo. And that's why it's so important to really think, where is the power and where is the riches? Because otherwise, you know, whole towns that even have FMLN, the FMLN is the left, mayors voted for the Arena Party because of that. So we have to understand that. And indigenous people have a phrase at home that says, they have your tail under their foot, under you, you know? And imagine if you are a dog, if the dog has the tail and somebody's stepping over, it cannot go that far. And we are beings that have the power to create. And a lot of times, for example, even in El Salvador, we are thinking we have to take the power, and ours, for ourselves. To take the power means to have everybody vote for, like in our case, the FMLN, so that from top down, we can have the kinds of laws that will give justice and peace and freedom to the people. And it doesn't work like that. But forever, we are concentrating on getting the power and maneuvering and fighting and struggling. And even within the party, then people have to fight to make sure that that power is taken over. But we are the power. We don't have to take over power because we are the power. What we have to figure out is, how come if we are the power, we have come to believe and understand that we don't have power and that we are not power? Because, you know, we are the children of the universe. The universe has created all that we have seen. How come then we think that we are so helpless and so powerless, and even we create programs to empower people? If we go and empower somebody, the implication of that is that whoever doesn't have power and somebody else does. But if we come from an understanding that everything in the universe is power and that everybody in the universe, the human beings, are power, then we have a different way of working, because it is about exercising and manifesting power to express those very things that are our dreams and our aspirations. So, you know, people in El Salvador keep saying, oh, but you're crazy talking about that. It can never happen. You don't think it can never happen? Well, it might take a bunch of years. Like how many years? Like about 200. And then maybe we'll have, you know, what we have been dreaming about. Yeah, but by that time, you know, I won't be around. And who knows? And like that, you know. And so we continue to destroy our country that is the second country in the Americas that is more ecologically devastated. We continue to have the violence that has made us the number one country with violence in the Americas. And you know, because we continue to think that it's not possible because of how the conditions are. But we are the possibility. What we say that another or many other worlds and better worlds are possible, they are. So we have to discern what is it that makes it possible and start doing exactly that. We cannot wait for somebody else to do it. It is us. But it's a colonial mentality, you know? It comes from colonialism and the internalization of colonial mentality that makes us think that we have to live for the other. Well, the bees do that, but we are not the bees. You know, we are human beings. We have the capability. What we are and what we have to understand we are is we are creators. We come from the creator, father, mother. We are creators, and we must be responsible. And we must start really figuring out how to be responsible creators. That means developing, because what we have is culture. Culture is everything that we do, because we cultivate it as we do it, you know? But we have to have intentional, conscious culture. That means that every step, everything we do, has to be conscious about the totality, about the wholeness, about the diversity, about who we really want to be. So people kept saying, 200 years for that, Marta. And I said, well, that would be the 23rd century, right? And they say, yeah. And I say, okay. So how about being the 23rd century now? A lot of what we are manifesting now is being the future already. So we have to make the decision consciously to be the future now. So the way that this is done is by doing discernment. And discernment is about figuring out things, paying attention, and then putting it together. You know, the word comes, it's a compound word, discernment. This, the part that is this, is a negative. And discernment is cernir. It's when you have the flower and you clean it up, and you know, then you are cerniendo. And then when you put it together, you are discerniendo. And that's when you can make the bread. So this is the important thing. We have to take the time to do those kinds of things, and then develop the skills, because we already have the power, but we have to develop the skills so that we are effectively manifesting the power that we are here today. And so the way that you do it in a country like mine, you know, the International Criminal Court is 200 years away from, because of the conditions that we have at home. So we create the conditions to create the Salvadorian Coalition for the International Criminal Court, and we are doing all these campaigns, and now we have the regional Central American Coalition for the International Criminal Court. You know, you figure out what is it that is going to be in the future that really is needed and is going to be possible and it can benefit everybody, and then you go to the future, you figure it out, you bring it to the present, you start working it, and you change the past, the present, and create a different future. Because in the colonial process, you know, in the colonial process at home, the colonizer came and they say, when I am talking to you, you look down. Don't look at me. And before I finish talking, you start running. So, you know, people develop that. They don't talk looking at your eyes. And then before you finish, they start talking, running, but in the same place. And a lot of times we continue to do that. We're running in the same place. And then we feel like we can't. But we can. We can. It means that every day we center ourselves when we get up in the morning, when we wake up, and we decide to live with a thankful heart because everything has been given to us. The air that we must need, the water, the earth, everything that we need has been given, and the power to create. And the power to create and resolve everything in community. So you choose every morning, you do that. And you know, there are times that I don't feel like doing it, to tell you the truth, because I go to it so tired. But you develop a mechanism, you develop the skill. So when I wake up, I don't feel like getting up. And then, you know, I leave my window open, I let the birds sing, and then I start saying, oh, the whole universe is waking up and letting me know that everything is ready for me to go out to the world. And then I start giving thanks consciously. And then your heart opens up. And you start giving thanks consciously. And this is the thing. You really, really have to figure out how to live that. We have to. figure out how to live that, you know? Well, so at home, you know, people, we are very ready to be in resistance and in opposition. It's been 500 years of exploitation. And I tell you, the repression is really terrible at home. My parents are very scared every time I know back, I am not back by 6:30. They worry. And my father say, Tita, 96 years old, you know that your mom is too old to go out of the country. We cannot travel, you know, because we were in exile. And I say, sí, papa. And then my mom says, your father is too old. And I say, sí, mama, you know. But I know that I cannot go in exile again. And besides, the purpose of your life doesn't have to be to live in resistance, in opposition, or to be in exile, you know, and be a martyr, or be somebody that, you know, that has to be fighting all the time. The purpose of life is to be lived. And so, for example, my work at home has to be to work with people, to create conditions so that we don't live to work. This is what's happening in all of Latin America, you know, and in Africa and all over, you know. So we have to live to enjoy life. So whatever we do, we have to keep that in mind, because otherwise we end up living to work. And I think one thing that helped me a lot was to understand that, you know, when I saw everybody fighting in the party and wanting to stay in San Salvador and not wanting to go into the communities and, you know, work with the people, that's what we were supposed to do and be. I found out that we all wanted to have peace, we wanted to have justice, we wanted to have freedom, but we wanted the revolution to give it to us. And we gave our lives. All of us were, you know, in this culture of giving, our people have always given, but by force. We have been forced to give. And so the thing is, now we have to choose to give out of our own willingness, of our heart, you know, to create that. If we were willing to die for all those desires, all, you know, the peace and freedom and justice, why not live for it? That's the gift that we have to do, you know? So it is easier sometimes to struggle and struggle and struggle. It's not about struggling, but being efficient so that we can really have that which we dream about. So I found out that the difference was from being a revolutionary to be the revolution itself. Manifested, you know, from building and constructing and defending and struggling for peace, be peace. You know, and it's easy and it's hard. It's being very mindful and intentional. So the work that we have to do is this consciousness, you know, and understanding how the universe works. For example, in El Salvador, everybody says, oh, but look at all this violence. You know, the Economic Commission for Latin America keeps saying, when is it going to start in El Salvador? Stop, you know, because we have 2-3 terrible murders every day, and we have the gangs, and we have, you know, corruption and all these things. And we get more militarized. And right now, the president of El Salvador just gave us a gift, just like they gave us dollarization, you know? It's legal, but illegitimate. It's passed there because of the ways that I was telling you about, and so now we have dollars in El Salvador. And you know, the name of the coin of El Salvador used to be Colón, which meant Columbus. And we didn't like the, you know, look. We wanted to change all the time Columbus because, you know, we didn't want to honor the colonizer, even though we respect that he was very brave, you know. Columbus was brave. But all of a sudden, you know, we have the dollars. And we were marching for the Colón, you know, and laughing the whole time because who would have said that we were going to march for Colón, you know? That's what life does to you, and you better laugh, you know? So, enjoy it while you can. And who knows, we even have it in the Supreme Court right now in El Salvador, you know. But the thing is that the government of El Salvador now has given us another gift. Oh, security and against terrorism. El Salvador is the only country that has soldiers in Iraq. And right now, they've been honored because they saved a contingent, U.S. contingent over there. And so they are, you know, with the medals. And then they put it to us all the time, you know. Look how brave you are, Salvadorians, huh? And what you're doing. So the government said, we are fulfilling a commitment that we made to you when we were campaigning, and now we have the super iron fist law. And that's what it is, super iron fist law. And it means repression, especially against the young people, especially about the people that are the poorest, and has many of them whose parents have come to the United States to work, and these young people have been sent back to El Salvador because as the parents were working very hard to maintain the family over there, these kids were in the streets here, and they are some of the most violent gangs. And now, you know, the government has created this whole thing for Central America to fight terrorism against the gangs. The gangs have gotten together, and now it's all over there. Now, the police from El Salvador can run across the borders. This is the arrangement that they have made against the young people, but the young people also are doing that. We have to do this work. We have to, you know, people say, well, what can we do? It is a responsibility to figure out what to do. So that is co-governance, you know? And it might mean, for example, in the little town where I am, it might mean the mayor that we have, he used to be from the FMLN, but he was not responsible. He didn't respond to the people. So people elected somebody else who is very right, you know, very conservative. Do I watch him or you? Okay. So, you know, and we went and negotiated with the mayor. And we said, because the town is taken by people who are drunk, you know, and that's a big problem because I am in an indigenous town of very impoverished people. Notice that I don't say poor people, I say impoverished, because that is a process of impoverishment and it's a process of enrichment, you know? So we have to pay attention to the language. So it's just like I never call the United Statians Americans. I always call United Statians Estadounidenses. But the thing is that the gangs in the park. So you cannot go there. So what we did is that we negotiated with the mayor. We will have a butterfly garden in the park if you allow us. But we would like you to give us people to work with us. We'll put 10 people, you put 10, as many as we put. We want the high school kids to come and also work with us. And we want your equipment, and we want your commitment that the butterfly garden is going to be taken care of, and we are going to explain that way we are saving the species, the diversity, and we also would like you to come and see us work, and if possible, come and sweat with us. You know, and he said yes to the whole thing. And there we went, a very conservative mayor, but we are working there, and they came. And then when they saw how everybody was stopping to see, and they wanted to understand that, and we are talking about Agenda 21, and peace and helpful planet, you know, and how to do it. And then when we finished, and everybody was able to see that we together had created that, and even with a conservative mayor, people were pleased, and I think, you know, some people would say, like some in the Bible might say, and it was good. And so the mayor came and he said, I want to go and talk with you. And he came and we talked with him. And so we are creating new things with him. But the butterfly garden is beautiful. And people are coming from all over the place just to stand and watch it. And there are butterflies. And then, you know, we have taken back the park. So I am giving these examples because I figure that this is what we are talking about, you know, understanding globally and acting locally. But in order to act locally, we have to do it personally with our family, and then we have to really affect also whoever is there making this. I call them decision makers and facilitators, not necessarily, you know, the people who are the most powerful. So the best way to really be in resistance, in opposition, is to have this intentional culture, this conscious culture, and creating that which you want to oppose, you know, creating the thing that you really have been dreaming about. And so I really believe that if we are able to do these kinds of things in governance, the government comes from down to the top. And there are things that, you know, if we really, it's not a matter even of believing and having faith. It's a matter of knowingness. knowing that we are power, knowing that we are creator, knowing that we are cause, always and never effect. Whatever you decide to do right now is going to have an impact on what you do later on and to the people around you. So remembering that we are always, but always, always cause and not effect. Thank you.